Hi, and welcome to The Practical Disciple. Today's guest is the Reverend Michael Vincent, and Michael is a consultant and an ordained pastor. He helps churches and organizations figure out how to relate in a healthy way, create a healthy environment, and also helps them identify their purpose and their vision. Very good at it. I've used Michael before. He's a gifted speaker. And I asked him if he would come on today's show and share with us principles that he shared at Montreat on how to take care of your spirit, maintain the health of your spirit. So we are blessed to have him here today. Now, please listen to the whole podcast because at the end, Michael will share with you contact information if you'd like to know how to get a hold of him. And you'll also find out where he learned the awesome principles he's going to share with us today. So we're really blessed to have him, and let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Mike. Welcome to The Practical Disciple.
Hey, John. It's great to be here.
Listen, I've been telling my listeners about the fact that you recently spoke at a camp and conference center in Montreat, North Carolina, and you were sharing there some practical advice on maintaining our spiritual health. Could we just begin by, can you give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of what you mean by maintaining your spiritual health?
Well, sure, John. You can maintain your spiritual health much like you can maintain your physical health. Everybody's interested in what they can do to take care of their body, making sure they exercise, make sure they eat the right foods, make sure that they are, you know, taking care of their environment so that everything around them is clean and nutritious and healthy for them and all those kinds of things. You can do the same thing with your spirit. Now, your body needs three basic things to stay healthy, and those are, of course, air and water and food. So you've got to have clean air to breathe, you've got to have good water to drink, and you've got to have nutritious food in order to maintain just a healthy body. We're not even talking about, you know, a person who's going to compete in any kind of contest or anything like that. We're just talking about basic health of your body. So your spirit also needs three things in order to maintain its health. And just like your body needs air, your spirit needs peace. And just like you breathe air for your body, you have to breathe peace for your spirit. And so every day you should take just a few moments. I usually try to do it three times a day, and in the morning and around noon and sometime in the evening, and just take a few seconds, really, is all it takes is, and to breathe in some peace. And as you think about breathing in the peace, you want to do it about three times. Just breathe it in, let it go. And you just breathe peace three times a day. It's very easy to do. It doesn't take much time. You can do it while you're brushing your teeth. You can do it while you're driving your car. You don't have to close your eyes. But your spirit needs this flow of peace in its body throughout the day. So it's good to take some time to think about that peace and to bring your spirit into awareness of the peace that's around you and in you, and just kind of breathe it through your body.
Sure.
Now, the other thing that your spirit needs, just like your body needs water, a certain amount of water every day, your spirit also needs water. And in our bodies, we think about drinking water for our nourishment, but we also think about water to bathe, to cleanse, to clean our bodies, to clean, you know, our dishes and our and whatever else we need to clean in our life. So water is for nourishing and cleaning cleansing our bodies when we drink. And so our spirit also needs some cleansing. And I like to think about how we use water as cleansing for our bodies. And so we can think about cleansing our spirits in sort of the same way. Every time we have a drink of water, that as an act of cleansing, bring that into the awareness of our spirit and our consciousness, and as we drink some water, just think about the cleansing of our spirit and removing all the toxins from our spirit and being cleansed from all those things that are kind of cluttering up our spirit. We can do the same thing when we shower or bathe every day, and this is something that's good to do at least once a day. So when you get up in the morning, you're getting ready to go to work, and you breathe some peace while you're brushing your teeth, and as you take your shower, you think about cleansing and just think, you know, I'm cleansing my spirit, and it's all the things that are making my spirit kind of muddy and dirty. It's just going right on down the drain. So we need to cleanse our spirit, and that's a good thing to do, like I said, about at least once a day. So where I'm tying things in here with our spirit that we do and with our physical bodies.
Yeah, I like the way you link them to activities. It makes it so much easier. I talk a lot in on the Practical Disciple about having triggers where we link a spiritual activity we want to do with something that's going to be a physical catalyst to remind us to do it. And, you know, what a great way to do that with things you know you're going to do every day, like taking a shower or brushing your teeth or every time you drink a glass of water. That it makes it so much easier to be consistent. Sorry to interrupt, but go ahead and let's talk
haven't really added anything to our day.
Yeah, exactly.
These are just things we do as we go about our daily business.
Right.
Now,
nice.
When it comes to the food that we take into our body, we have lots of choices. We don't really have much choice about air, except that we know that if the air is not good, there are consequences to that. There, you know, we might have asthma problems, or it might be hard to breathe. But if we're in a place where the air is not good, then we just, you know, have to move to a place where the air is better. And as far as water goes, you know, water is water. We don't have a lot of choices. We have lots of choices to drink. You know, if you drink soda or something like that, but water in itself is just that. But when our bodies, when we talk about food for our bodies, you know, we all have our own preferences. Some people, you know, like grandma's home cooking with the biscuits. And some people like, you know, Aunt Louise's lasagna. They like Italian food. Some people like French food. So when it comes to food, we have lots of choices about how we're going to feed our bodies, lots of different kinds of food. And when we, what our spirit needs in relationship to food is love. And so we have to take in love to keep our spirit healthy. And we actually have many options for love, just like we have many options for food. And so when we think about nurturing our spirit and keeping our spirit healthy and taking in love, then we can think about those things that we love to do, that we like to do. Whatever we do that nurtures our spirit, that takes love into our spirit. It might be a walk in the woods. It might be playing a musical instrument. It might be drawing a picture. It might be worshiping. It might be spending time with friends. Lots of different things that we can have in order to take love into our bodies. And a lot of us have kind of fallen into a habit, much like we do. We kind of eat the same kinds of foods. Some of us kind of take in the same kinds of love. And that's okay. It's really good for us to know what nurtures the love in our spirits. But we just want to make sure that we're conscious about the fact that, hey, this is we're taking in love into our spirit to keep it healthy. And so we can do that in a variety of different ways. And if you're feeling extremely ambitious, you might want to try a new way of taking in love, just not like you might want to try a new dish or a new kind of food.
Right.
If the way you normally nurture your spirit is through listening to music, you might try painting a picture or, you know, making something with your hands or something different that you're interested in. So love, when we take in love into our bodies, then into our spirits, it's like taking in food. So if you want to think about it like that, whatever you do to nurture your spirit. So that's kind of those are called the intakes, the things that we have to do. We have to breathe in peace, we have to drink in spirit, and we have to eat the love that nurtures our spirit.
I love the way you've taken, there's kind of two things going on there. You have something that mentally or spiritually you're doing in terms of a focus of mind, but you're linking it with a physical activity. And I think there's something that can be very powerful about that for folks. You know, when we take things and we physically enact something that's spiritually real going on, that can be really significant. And we do that when we have sacraments, you know, when we take in the body and the bread, or the body as bread, and we take in the blood as the cup. We're physically doing something that enacts or reminds us of something spiritual that's very real going on. And and we do the same thing in baptism with cleansing, you know, when we're washed physically, but it's it's also enacting something we know spiritually that's going on. Reminds me of, I knew a pastor who, when he would get out of bed in the morning, he would mentally go through the full armor of Christ. He'd say, "I'm putting on the full armor of God," and he would pretend he was pulling on, you know, the boots and putting on the shield and putting on. He would sort of mimic that as he was getting out of bed, and it was a great. It was a great mind body way to make a kind of a declaration and intent for how he was going to spend his day, and really dedicate it to God, and it's just such a powerful, tangible way to express what we're doing in our faith on a daily basis. We'll go ahead, Ed. These are things, these are routines you weave in daily. Any suggestions?
There's another thing or two you should do just occasionally. I call this taking care of the dust bunnies of our soul.
I love it.
And so, because these are the kind of things that, you know, if we get up in the morning, we breathe our peace, we drink spirit, and we eat love, and we're headed out the door and everything is good, and it seems like the minute we get on the road to work, you know, somebody's going to cut us off on ramp to the interstate or something. So, and we start getting these little dust bunnies, I call the dust bunnies of fear and anger. And these are really the things that if we don't keep them swept out on a regular basis, they kind of tend to build up, just like the dust bunnies under your bed build up. And the next thing you know, it's like a creature living there. So
they can make you sick.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always good. And some people don't like the language of demons, but they are kind of little demons that get in us. And, you know, these little dust bunnies are little demons. If you've ever tried to keep the dust bunnies out of your house, you know they can be little demons, because just about the time you're ready to get to them, they'll move away. And so this fear and anger in our spirits is the same way. So every day it's good just to just say a little prayer that says, you know, cast out fear and anger, God, cast out fear and anger. And just whenever you feel yourself fearful or angry, it's good just to say, cast those things out, because we don't want them to build up too much. And it's sort of kind of heads some things off at the pass, you know. So those are the spiritual intakes. Those are the things that you take in to nurture your spirit. And then there are things that we need to do that are called outputs. And these are the things that you do, the activities that you do, because you have an intake and you have an output, and sort of between the intake and the output is this state of being, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute.
Okay.
But the output for peace is justice. So how do we act justly? Okay. And there's a lot of stuff written about justice. There's a lot of people involved in justice. And sometimes justice is so big we can't really wrap our heads around it, because there seems to be such a lack of injustice in the world. So we kind of have to think about it in terms of our own personal self. And so the way I think about justice is this: sharing until your neighbor is safe. Okay? So that requires a whole different way of looking and being in the world in a very personal space. Now, if that definition of justice doesn't work for you, then you can, you know, come up with your own. But it's sort of thinking about, what do I need to do today in order for my neighbor to feel safe. And most of us assume that our neighbor is safe. I mean, if we look in our neighborhood, but we always have to remember that in, you know, our understanding in Christian perspective is, and many other traditions as well, is that our neighbor is just not the person who lives next door,
right,
or not the person who works next to us in our office.
Right.
So what do we need to do in order to make our neighbor feel safe? And just a contemplation of that is, it can be just almost mind-blowing. You know, it's a little hard to comprehend. But so you take in peace and you act in justice. And breathing in peace and acting in justice makes your spirit safe.
Okay.
So breathe in spirit, act justly, and you feel safe in your spirit.
Right, and that really rings true biblically at so many levels. We just recently in our church finished a study on biblical concepts of peace, and we looked at words in the Old Testament that we translate as peace and in the New Testament as peace. And the big awakening or epiphany for me in that study was how holistic the term peace is when you study it in the Old and New Testament, that it can mean reconciling things between you and a neighbor, which we might think of, you know, having peace between people. But it also, oftentimes when someone says, peace be with you in the Old Testament, it oftentimes that is a statement that is made by someone who is an authority to someone who is under their authority, and in a way, there's a pledge is maybe a strong word, but there's an intent that I'm receiving you in a peaceful manner, that this is a safe space. It's a statement of you're in a safe place, if you will.
Exactly.
And I could go on about that, and I won't here, but I really would encourage listeners to take some time and study the concept of peace, because in the Old New Testament, it's extremely holistic, and it encompasses making sure that people physically are safe, that our relationships with one another aren't wounded, and making sure that we have within us, we carry a peace, which is far more than a lack of conflict, but it's something that's more abiding
right,
and positive. It's not just a lack of conflict, but it's
right,
the presence of an abiding peace and wholeness. I'm looking for a better word, but it's hard to find
right,
one. I guess the point is, it doesn't mean that it's not simply defined by what's not there, but there's something very tangible about peace.
Right.
So this really dovetails great with a study we just did here, so I can't wait for my congregation to hear this. Well, that's one output. So we breathe in peace, and out of that comes justice. I'm guessing there's more. Go ahead.
Right. So we breathe in peace, we act with justice, and that creates this safe spirit within us.
Okay.
So the next thing we do is we drink in spirit, and we act with kindness. Most of us think of ourselves as fairly kind. We don't like to think of ourselves as, you know, mean old folks. But so we don't want to neglect the fact that there might be areas where we are not kind. So as we're drinking in our spirit, you know, we think about ways that we need to be kind during the day. And kind is, you know, kind is sort of a thing that we all buy into and that we like very much. Probably some of us are kind on a level that we, you know, don't even pay attention to. I mean, to me, if you see trash on the ground and you pick it up, that's a kindness. If you help a coworker, then that's a kindness. So whatever we do to act kindly toward each other and to one another, that's the output for drinking in spirit. And when we take in spirit and we act with kindness, then we have a spirit that feels nurtured.
Okay.
So our spirit feels nurtured. It feels taken care of. And just, you know, that's why we do all the exercises we do. That's why we, you know, jog. That's why we eat the right food. We want to feel nurtured. We want to think at the end of the day we've taken care of ourselves.
Sure.
We don't want to feel like, you know, we're sick because we didn't take care of ourselves. So we
right.
want to this feeling of nurtured. We want to be nurtured. And so to do that, you drink in spirit and you act with kindness.
Okay.
Now, love, we're going to take in love, we're going to eat love, and we're going to act with humility. And what we have to remember with humility, in our culture, we're not usually very much fans of humility because we think of humility as, too often we think of humility as something that happened that humbled us or even made us embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say humility, what I mean by that is that we feel comfortable in our own skin.
Okay.
That whatever it is that we do in life, the things that we're good at, we're not embarrassed about it. We know if people compliment us, we're okay with it. It doesn't go to our head, you know, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
give us the big head, and it doesn't make us feel embarrassed. We're just comfortable with it. We understand who we are and how we work in the world. So that's what I mean with humility. So we eat love, we act in humility, and that makes us feel empowered in our spirit. So our spirit is empowered to do the things that we feel called to do in the world, to accomplish our purpose, to be obedient to what we feel like God is calling us to do.
Okay.
So if you do those, if you have those inputs and those outputs, and it's not really a 1 + 1 = 2 kind of thing.
Sure.
It's not really breathing in peace and acting with justice will equal safety.
Right, right.
It's really, safety is between those two things. It's like peace and justice are what holds the safety there.
Kind of makes the space for it. It's like it sets up a boundary where that can occur.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. A space for that to be, that space in your spirit, so that it makes your spirit safe and nurtured and empowered. And so that would be, you know, sort of the baseline healthy spiritual person feels safe and nurtured and empowered. And, you know, similarly, when you receive the peace and justice of others, that increases your feeling of safety in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you receive the kindness and the spirit of others, that increases your nurture. And when you receive the love and the humility that's offered to you, then that increases your power.
What do you mean by that a little bit? Because power, unpack that a little bit, because I think power is a loaded word, or can be.
It is very much a loaded word.
So when you say power, what's going on in your head?
Well, power to me, I guess strength would be another word that you
mm-hmm.
could use, because it's not power over another person. It's the strength to do and to be as God calls us to do and to be. It's the power. It's a power of spirit. It's a power to face up to whatever comes our way. It's a power to act justly when it's not always popular to act justly. It's a power to be peaceful when it's not always a peaceful situation to be in. So it's a strength. It's a strength that comes through our spirit that we get from nurturing our spirit and from paying attention and being obedient and being able to communicate with God's spirit as we seek to be healthy in our own spirit.
Sure. Well, it makes me think of, when you talk about power, it makes me think of Paul when he writes Timothy, and he talks about it. You don't have a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. And as you were describing that self-control or self-discipline, you're not yanked about by things. And when you're humble, you don't have anything to prove, you know? You don't have to,
right.
to act in ways that are artificial to put yourself
right.
in a place where you feel safe or accepted or any of that. You're not hungering for that because you already have it, you know?
Right.
And
right.
I think about the word spirit so often. It's neat how all these words, it'd be fun to unpack these in terms of the biblical language around it, because Spirit, you talk about drinking in spirit, and spirit is, it talks about the words for spirit in the Bible are words that have to do with wind and breath and things that mm-hmm. we take in like that and that we feel. But also, whenever you run into the word spirit, particularly in the book of Acts, just over and over again, what's associated with, it talks about by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's mm-hmm. and it's a big word. I mean, it's what we get the word dynamite from, the dynamos of the spirit,
right.
So it's kind of neat how all these things get reflected in the language we have around them in the Bible.
The power is so often abused in many ways, but in spiritual power and in spiritual empowerment, we always have to remember that's held in tension, in tension between love and humility.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of puts, a whole different twist on what power is or what being empowered is. It's being empowered as it's held between love and humility.
Sure. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So let me kind of recap that real quickly. What I was hearing you say is there's just like we take in air and water and food, we need to take in peace, spirit, and love, right? Peace, spirit, and love.
Right.
And
right.
that we take those things in, and then what we need to, or the output that should flow from those things or that we hope would flow from those things are justice and kindness and humility.
Right.
And then when you're breathing that in and when you're breathing those inputs in and you're have those outputs of justice, kindness, and humility, it creates a space where spiritually you're going to feel safety, you're going to feel nurtured, you're going to feel empowered. So
that's it
in a nutshell.
That's
Cool. Well, what would you say to folks who are wanting to start? Just, pick one of these things or pick all three of them or where, somebody's,
yeah, exactly.
This is a whole new concept to them. Where would you say, okay, this is what I would do to start?
Well, yeah, I think it's real easy to breathe spirit. And, whenever we think about our spiritual disciplines or any kind of change in our behavior that we're trying to make, we want to make sure that we do something that we can be successful with and build on that. I mean, how many diets have we started? How many exercise programs have we started with great gusto? And then they kind of fell mm-hmm. by the wayside. So breathing in peace and is real easy, and actually all three of them are really easy. The key is to these cues of brushing your teeth and
sure.
Taking your shower and eating your breakfast.
Right.
I mean, just to, if you need to make a little note card, or whatever, then just start there. When you reach over to get the toothpaste, there can be a little card there that says "Breathe Peace."
Right. Right. Yeah.
I think they're really easy. Most folks that I've talked to, people who say I'm too busy even to nurture
sure.
my spirit.
And that, isn't that a problem?
They'll say, hey, I can do that.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think so much of it is just being intentional. We have to make the choice. And I like this because it's very concrete. It's very measurable in terms of us being able to track ourselves on it. And I could see one thing that would be very valuable. I'm often telling folks that when you were talking about the dust bunnies, that we need
uh-huh.
As an ongoing discipline in our lives, we need at the very least daily times of confession. I try at the end of the day to take time to look back and assess the day and confess anything I need to confess. And one of the things that I encourage people to do when they do that is to have some kind of rubric or checklist. Like they might take fruits of the spirit and look at fruits of the spirit and say, where today did I do this, this, and this, or where today did I fail to do that and I should have. And,
right.
What you've laid out here could be somebody's rubric for examining the day. I mean, you could sit down at the end of the day and go, all right, when did I breathe in peace, spirit, and love? When did I take
mm-hmm.
those things in?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I express justice, kindness, and humility? And
mm-hmm.
And they can look at the gaps there and say, and confess either something they've intentionally done that is contrary to one of those things, or the things they intended to do, they failed to do. And that would be a great practice. I mean, the self-awareness, the spiritual self-awareness that would grow in you if on a daily
right.
basis you put down peace and justice, spirit and kindness, love and humility, and you kind of rated yourself, you know, just your scorecard
yeah.
for the day, you know, but a little
right.
self-examination around those six things.
Right.
It would be,
and you know,
amazingly
some
helpful.
People say, I'm sorry. Some people say, you know, I'm not sure I really believe that if you do these intakes and these outputs that you'll have these feelings in your spirit.
Right, right.
And it's sort of like, you know, I might like to believe that I can eat pebbles and, you know, a big long hoagie for lunch and all the things that I want to eat, and it won't have any effect on me. But, you know, pretty soon I'm packing a little pudge around my middle.
Right.
And so it's sort of the same. And I might also believe that, you know, I really don't think getting on the treadmill or lifting that weight is really going to improve anything about my body. But, you know, if you go and do it, there are results.
Sure.
And it's the same way with this. Just try it. See
yeah.
what happens.
Yeah, and I would add to that, and I think it's kind of inherent in the illustration used, that folks need to try it. I always say when you take on, for instance, a spiritual discipline, that you need to take it on for a season. And that's a squishy word, but what I mean by that is take it on for a while. You know,
yeah.
if I said, hey, Michael, if you go to the gym, you know, you're gonna feel a lot better, you're gonna drop some pounds, you're gonna have more tone, more energy. And then next week I saw you and you said, you know, John, Saturday I went down to the gym and I worked out and I don't feel anything different but sore. You know, I go,
exactly.
well,
exactly.
you know, you may need to go more than once. You know,
that's so, right.
So
that's right.
I think I would encourage listeners that if you do this, take it on for a season, take it on for 30 days or 60 days. It's a shame we're into the middle of Lent, or you can even take it on for the from now until the end of Lent, or, you know, Easter's coming up. When Easter came, you could decide, I'm going to do this for the 50 days until Pentecost. I mean, Pentecost being a celebration of spirit. What a neat thing to do. You know, I'll take this on, this self-examination, and I'm going to nurture my spirit until Pentecost Sunday. That could be a really cool discipline. In fact,
exactly.
I think I just have my next post for the practical disciple, but or a future one at least.
That's right. When
actually we need to wrap up. We've been at this for over a half hour, which is hard for me to believe, but I think it's so good that I didn't want to interrupt us. There's one verse that's come to mind over and over, because I think some folks might listen to this and it may feel a little, for lack of a better word, just kind of hokey. What is that? A bunch of mental mumbo jumbo, I'm breathing in peace or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think about Paul, who told the Philippians, you know, at the end of a letter with them, and he was talking about the peace of God, which passes all understanding, being with them.
Mm-hmm.
He concludes with, finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever is just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you've learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. And I love that, because he's got both components there of input and output. You know, I want you to ponder these things and then go do what you've seen done, you know, the output and the input. And then what he says is, and the God of peace will be with you. There was a result to that, if you will. And so it's just tremendously biblical. And what I like is you've honed it down to something we can three things to remember on input, three things to remember on output. That's just, all of us can hang on to that, particularly when we connect them with things like air, water, and food. It's not like I've got this incredible task ahead of me to try to remember, now, what was I supposed to work on? It's not like when I go to the gym and I've got 12 exercises I got to remember, and how many reps and sets and all that stuff.
Right.
I just know I need to work my upper body, my lower body, and get some cardio in.
There you go.
I don't need it to be much more complicated than that.
That's right.
Wow. Well, this has been wonderful. I really hope to have you back for another interview. Lastly, you know, some folks may want to be able to contact you. Michael does consulting for churches on and for other organizations on creating a healthy space. And I've used him as a consultant in a church before and had a wonderful experience of him. What's probably the best way for them to learn more about who you are and what you do? What would be some contact information for our listeners?
Well, they're welcome to check out my website at healthyspace.net, www.healthyspace.net.
Okay.
And they can contact me through email, and it's Michael V, MICHAELV, at healthyspace, all one word, HEALTHYSPACE.net.
Okay. Super.
So there you go. And I just need would like to add that this spiritual health stuff is not original to me. I learned it from Jane Wolfe from Bog Chapel in Vermont. And if you want to Google Bog Chapel, you'll find her website and find out about her and go have a retreat with her awesome home in the woods of Vermont.
Oh,
and
wow.
She can teach you all about this stuff.
Okay, super. Wow, there we'll have to give Jane a call and see if she can maybe have an interview with us. That would be fun.
Exactly.
to get her in here. So, well, this has been delightful, and I will be getting back with you about a follow-up interview sometime. And listeners, please go back and regularly visit the Practical Disciple, because after every podcast, a few days later, I post a summary, and I want you to be able to print out something that you can be able to recall these things. So watch The Practical Disciple, or if you're listening to this first time, go back and look for that post. You'll be able to find it using the search bar. And appreciate you having you today, Michael.
Glad to be here. Thanks, John.